Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it.
Yeah, yeah, it is Tuesday. It's Tuesday night again, and time for Blog Talk Radio. And we are so glad to be here tonight, and so glad you are here with us and listening, whether you're listening right now or as a podcast. We're glad to have you with us. We have a wonderful guest tonight. We always do. But tonight we have my good friend Tommy Coombs of the original band Love Song, going back to the early 70s. Boy, such amazing memories. And there was just a unique sound about those guys that happened that was totally, well, it was just of the spirit. That's all I can say. And kind of the sound of the Jesus movement, like no one else had. And that was Love Song. Tommy's gone on to do so many different things. We will be discussing that a little bit. But right now, let's just welcome to the Blog Talk Radio, The Catch, our good friend Tommy Coombs. Welcome, Tommy.
John, it's nice to catch up with you and discuss what matters.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm thinking about I know we've talked about this before, but I just thing that is remarkable to me about your early music with Love Song was the evangelistic thrust of that music, but the sweetness of it. It was, you know, it was not, it was not hit anybody over the head. It was inviting. It was, Welcome Back is just the classic because it just reaches, it reached out and pulled people in. And I go, you know, whenever I hear that, I go, how did you know that? You know, and the only thing I can conclude is that that was the Holy Spirit. Is that the right answer, Tommy?
Yes, that was actually a perfect description of the kind of the center core or essence of Love Song's music. It was very welcoming. I mean, it was a very contemporary. People ask me to describe it. I'd say, well, you can remember, this is the same time as Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, the Beach Boys, and the Beatles.
Yeah.
And you take those three bands and put them together, it's a lot like that. It was very relevant up to the moment, but it was not finger-pointing. It was very welcoming. It made you think. It allowed a listener to open up and go like, hey, wow, maybe I should listen to this. And Chuck Gerrard was very, very gifted with words in some of those songs like Welcome Back and Feel the Love and things like this. And I wrote three or four or five or six, you know, like Cossack song. I'm more of the rock and roll guy. but I wrote two bands too with my friend Chuck Butler.
Yeah.
But all of that, when I look back on it now, and we were so young. It was just the whole Jesus movement and the stuff that happened with you in Second Chapter of Acts, it was the Holy Spirit, like the Bible talks about, leading, directing, inspiring. And the thing that was, I think, part of the charm of it was we were, at least for Love Song guys, we were not church kids. And so God just gave us a new song like Psalm 40 talks about in a language that our culture could understand. And, you know, you look at, I mean, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people gave their life to Christ, some of which are senior pastors about to retire now at this point, you know.
I just think of the beauty of some of those lyrics, like, listen to your heart.
You're thinking about,
I'm thinking about, welcome back. I'm thinking about, I know you thought you could turn your back and no one could look in your, see in your mind, but I can see that you know better now. You never were the untruthful kind, and I'm so happy now to welcome you back. Tell me, I've never heard anything like that since. Nothing.
No, I haven't either. That just gave me goosebumps, John, because, you know, I can be a critic of Christian music, right, in general, in all forms, because I'm an artist and a producer. I run a record label. I'm still a member of two bands. And it's like, where's the inspiration like that nowadays? And where are the younger artists who are connected to the culture and can speak the language and have that kind of inspiration and poetry and skill to connect with our culture and to lead the church both?
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about both of those things, it just gives me such goosebumps because it's like, I guess where I'm going with this is I always thought when I hear a lot of Christian music, I don't hear good news. You know what I mean? And so I'm thinking, when I read the Bible, it's full of good news. Why doesn't Christian music sound like good news? And I'm not being overly critical. I think we just have to, you know, be fair in our analysis. I think there's a lot of great stuff happening. Some of these younger artists are really starting to write some magnificent worship tunes. But what I'm not hearing is kind of what you just said about the welcome back call.
Mm-hmm.
And God's
mm-hmm.
agenda
mm-hmm.
has not changed. It has not changed. Seek and save the lost, you know?
Yeah. Tommy, talk about that some more. I really want to hear some more about that because I do think we've gotten so into worship music we've moved away. That was the beauty of the Jesus movement. We were trying to save the world with our guitars. I mean, that was it. We were singing to our culture, you know. But
John, the other part of that is they were like parallel streams. Right from the very beginning, at least where I was down in Orange County, new worship songs were being written at the same time as these evangelistic songs from the same people because it was a life change. It was like going from darkness to light. And things like Seek Ye First and I Love You, Lord, were written by the same people who were, you know, in bands. And it was just their personal expression of repentance and thankfulness. And so one of those rivers dried up. That's my point. If there's two parallel rivers, everybody went to the one and forgot about the other.
Tell me,
that's a fair comment?
Which, I think it's a fair, but wait, tell me which, define those. What are the two rivers?
You have the Jesus movement and all these young artists writing things like Larry Norman and in Love Song and Second Chapter, just trying to purposefully writing songs out of a number one burden of telling our culture and people our age, we found the answer, and here's what it is. And at the same time, we're going to churches who are feeding us and helping us grow up in the Lord, and we're learning the Word. And, I mean, for me personally, I was reading the book of Revelation for the first time, living in a school teacher's house when Love Song was brand new, and I wrote Holy, Holy, Holy. I just read the scripture, and I just wrote Holy, 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 which was the first worship song ever recorded by Maranatha Music. And Karen Lafferty was out doing evangelism, and she wrote Seek Ye First. So one river is the powerful force of evangelism. The other river was new songs of adoration to the Lord that might not have been hymns, but they were heart songs for sure.
Yeah, and so we have now a definitely predominance of that second river you're talking about, at least in Christian music. And are you spending any time? Do you get a chance to talk to younger musicians, new people? How can we inspire? You know, here at The Catch, we always love to talk about we're Christians in the marketplace. That's what we are,
mm-hmm.
and we need to speak to that. But we just don't seem to be really having music that's really speaking to that. And I just wonder why that is.
I would agree. Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. I think, as I used to run a record company, I know how the shift happened, how part of it. I mean, the special dispensation from God was kind of over and people just kind of went back to business. It was all about return on your investment and taking chances and young bands that are touring doing youth stuff only lasts 5 years, maybe 7 years, and then it's another season of life for them. And in the beginning, you know, people were laughing about worship albums. Well, that's a joke. You guys are not in the record business. And then people started making a lot of money off it. So that's one thing. I would also say that pastors, and I don't mean to be critical because I love my pastor friends, but most of them do not know how to lead creative people. And my number one suggestion to them is do not dictate, ask questions. Which leads me to, if you want to speak into somebody's life, you really, first of all, have to listen very carefully. You know, I just think people don't know how to speak English anymore. A lot of church people don't have non-Christian friends. They got troubled teenagers maybe, but I think if we can listen, first of all, and show that we care. But then the other thing might also be that nobody's talking about the things we're talking about today. Nobody sees that God's heart might literally be broken about this. We certainly see that our world is spiraling down very, very fast. And yet, you know, back to that central question, where are the artists that God has maybe prepared that's going to pop up and have a song that would have an impact? A song that impacted us, like Bridge Over Troubled Waters. To me, I'm going like, where are Christians who can write songs like that? You know?
Yeah.
Or Carole King's You've Got a Friend and things like this. Where are those people? I don't know where they are. But I like hanging with them. I like hanging with these young artists. And they kind of, I think I've learned that they enjoy having a big brother if that big brother's not finger pointing or criticizing. I don't know how you feel about that.
I think I love that you have just brought up, you know, Bridge Over Troubled Waters and You've Got a Friend. There are so many songs. We're going to be sharing with you a little bit tomorrow about our radio station, there are so many songs that do that already. And they're secular songs, and it doesn't matter. And especially if we could blend those with the songs, you know, that we are writing that lead in a gentle way to Christ, we could have a powerful tool, I think. Don't you?
Yes, Love Song was doing the concert way back in Austin, Texas, when there was almost riots going on. And at the end of the week, all these groups came inside with all the college students. And one of the other bands said, just in between songs, Jesus is the answer. And I was out by the soundboard, and some smarter Alec young kid said, what's the question? And I thought, I love this guy. I love this guy.
Yeah.
And maybe we should, you know, like what Bob Dylan did so well, he didn't provide all the answers. He asked a lot of questions. And Jesus asked a lot of questions. There's a lot about his conversations that I find very mysterious, and it certainly confused the disciples. But I'll tell you two other things, three or four other people that I so greatly admired for their courage, and I think it was their calling. I mean, Jars of Clay, they actually knew our history and they they were focused on impacting their culture. Mary Mary did that. Kirk Franklin did that. And one of my favorites is Switchfoot. And their dad is a pastor with a PhD in psychology, but they've always had a focus on entering culture, not avoiding culture, and been very strategic on writing songs that made people think and touch the heart. So, I mean, I applaud that. I just, I'm aware, what is wrong that we don't have more people like that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think part of it, Tommy, and you were saying this earlier, that at least as far as Christian music is concerned, has it not created its own audience, its own market, and it's separate from the rest of the world. It's a place where we go to feel comfort and assurance and to worship the Lord, but who's making the connection between our faith and the real world that we're living in, which is a pretty scary place?
Well, I would agree with you, and all those things about comfort, and you know, we're surrounded by God's presence, and we're a community of faith, and we're building each other up. Those are all super essential and all very biblical. I kind of wonder, John, I mean, this is great to have this conversation, because I've got questions still too, right? So what if the funding for cutting edge Christian music used to be from the record companies, and now that's gone for the most part, right? And writers are not making much money from ASCAP and BEI and CSAC. And the church is saying, hey, we just need you to come over here and do worship. Who's going to fund this evangelist? Or is it going to be like we were, where we weren't worried about that at all? We just got in the van and played three times a day to anybody who would listen.
Maybe.
You've tried to do nonprofit work to encourage artists, so have I. And it's very difficult. Most people don't understand the need for this, in my opinion, or understand why that would need to be financed, right? Most musicians are not making much money, especially this year. So these are problems I don't know we can solve, but I think it's great to talk about it and bring the conversation up. And I'll bet you there's a lot of people listening going, aha, gosh, I'm glad these guys are talking about this.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's a time, too, where don't you think that if we're really reaching into the culture, we're probably may not even be in Christian music, so to speak. But, just be in music, period. Playing where the world listens to it.
Yeah, and now that if you were in Europe as a Christian musician, you had to do that because there was no subculture to support. You know, there was no contemporary Christian music sub-bubble, right? Americans created a big, gigantic sub-bubble. So other countries have had to do that. But it's kind of interesting. It's like I know some of my artist friends don't like to be called a Christian musician. They like to be called a musician who is a Christian. In other words, let your work speak and your faith speak without, having to – I don't know, a neon sign in your forehead. I'm a Christian, and I hope you'll like your music, whether it's good or not. tell me if you think this is true, if you've heard this too. Somewhere along the line, somebody told me that Michelangelo said, criticize by creation, meaning if you don't like what you see, make something better.
Ah, beautiful. Wow. That's beautiful.
And as a creative person, I still think it starts with a song.
Tommy, I'm thinking about your incredible career. I mean, all the things you've done. You've had your band. You've you're a songwriter, you're a producer, you're a worship band leader, and you know, I just realized just talking with you now that for 30 years you've been pretty steady with the Franklin Graham Crusades, providing the music for that with the Tommy Coombs band. And Tommy, you've run a record company, for heaven's sakes, you know. So with all of this, what's your favorite thing?
Well, I there's two things. I love writing songs. I'm not super prolific. I'm very picky about every word. But I'm more passionate about it now than I've ever been. And I think during this COVID year, I finally finished 10 or 12 that I thought were my best ideas. I'd like to do another solo album. I've only done one. But the other thing is, I would say it's that two streams again, John. I want to help the church be what it's supposed to be. I want to do my part in serving my brothers and sisters so that we grow up in the faith, like Ephesians talk about. But the other thing, the highlight of my life, besides my wife and my kids and my family, is standing on a stage and watching thousands of people give their life to Christ from all different cultures. I've been in every country in Central and South America. My band is sung in about 28 different languages. Been all over Africa and Asia and a little bit in Europe. And to see these people where I'm like one of the only white people in the audience, and here's 50,000 Latinos bringing their kids up with their babies. The whole family's crying. That to me is like, oh my gosh. When the Jesus movement was over, I personally never thought I would see that again. But it is still happening. It happened with Promise Keepers as well. And the preaching of the gospel needs creative musical partners. You know what I mean? Try having a crusade or a church service with no music. See how that goes. But I don't know that many people are kind of mature in their understanding of how that partnership might work. I mean, Billy Graham did it really well with Cliff Barrows and Bev Shea and his team of keyboard players, that were just solid as a rock. They knew how to work together. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was Cliff Barrows coordinating all that. But they stayed together for all those years, and they knew how to serve each other and work with each other and flex with each other. I long for that with churches. And Louis Giglio has done it really well with passion with, you know, David Crowder and Chris Tomlin and these kind of people. And you know what that's done, John, too? It's made the music really purposeful and focused. And I could say the same thing about what Franklin Graham has done for my team of people. You're not confused. I'm not confused about what our role there is. And one time, just when things were going really wrong with all the pre-music, he looked at me and said, look, your job is, if anything goes wrong before I get up to preach, your job is to fix it. But I like the tension of here's our role. So, you know, artists, we want to be creative and we want all the options open, so we have to make a decision. And I'm one of those. I'm guilty. But when somebody gives me a clear focus, my decisions become really focused, and it releases that creative energy in a powerful way, in my opinion. That's been my experience.
Yeah. Do you think that that our music as Christians can become prophetic again, especially with the world the way it is right now? Would you like to see that?
Yes, I would like to see it. I believe it's possible, and God may indeed be preparing some people we have no idea who they are to do that. And it might come in a form we don't understand. Like, to me, Lecrae, the rapper Lecrae from Atlanta, is one of my favorite guys. He's so street level. And there's people like that that I really admire, but there could be many more, and their art form might be a little bit foreign to us. It might not be as musical, but they might be reaching their culture in a very powerful way. But boy, they're going to have to be brave. We need them to be brave and focused and have something to say that's really compelling. So, yeah, let's disagree. Yeah. It's just to pray for that. I'm not seeing much of that yet.
Well,
John, I will say this. I know our time is running short. Go ahead. You go first.
No. Go ahead, please. You had something in your mind right there.
Well, there's been a lot of talk that I've heard the last 3 or 4 years about, are we going to see another revival or a people mm-hmm. movement like the Jesus movement soon? And I think people mm-hmm. are really hungry for that. They're praying for that. And I believe God's listening. And I mean, you think about it, when the Jesus movement happened, a lot of it was these hippie, unchurched kids that probably scared the church terribly, right? It wasn't a bunch of conservatives. Yeah. So this next movement might scare us a little bit. But I think when it happens, we're gonna recognize God's spirit in the middle of it, even if the form is different. But we should be ready for that a little bit too, you know.
Well, that's a good. I never even thought about that in those terms, but I think you're right. And it'll be different. It will definitely not be the same thing in the same way, because the Holy Spirit doesn't just work that way. That's for sure. Well,
you know.
So
before we get off the air here, I just wanted to say that. You know, we love song. The band is still doing things, and we've been working on a documentary film that covers the history of the band and the Jesus movement both. And if people want to know more about that, they can go to lovesongtheband.com, because we're trying to do some fundraising too. It's all filmed. We just need to spend a lot of money in 4 months editing it, but it's powerful. Some beautiful things. It was like Michael W. Smith's
That's
involved,
great.
And a lot of people were there. Even got Governor Huckabee to talk about his experience at Expo 72. So need your prayers and support on that too. And but I think these things are
great
learning tools. When I became a new Christian, I didn't know the history of any revivals or things before me. And I think young people are really interested to hear the stories behind what happened.
Yeah,
and apply it to their generation.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here, for sure. And we're excited about talking to you some more about that. That'll be terrific. But I just think right now, we just I love your heart for evangelism, and that's a thing that. That always got me with that with the early love song music. I actually have thought that I would love to teach a course or a seminar. I could probably do it in a seminar on witnessing, quote, you know, the old Christian term witnessing from your songs. And it would be so completely different than what people think, and the way most people go about trying to share their faith, and that just that's always impressed me. The way you guys started out, it was just beautiful. So I can't wait for this movie. I'm excited.
Oh, it's strong. But, you know, John, I think you should teach a college course on this, too, because I've actually had PhD professors who are head of theological seminaries tell me that musicians can say more in 3 minutes than they could spend a whole lifetime teaching. I actually had a professor tell me that about the song Two Hands. And this guy was approaching 80, and he was looking back going like, man, wish I could do that. There's something about music that just it opens the heart, the old-fashioned way of just, you know, knocking on doors and doing it that way is a bit harder, I think. I mean, it's not saying that it can't work. But anyway, we probably have to wrap this up, don't we, Johnny?
We do. Any final words? You got any last comments to leave us? as we think about being Christians in the marketplace?
Well, I think we should use that term more and more and encourage younger artists to think like that. Now, trying to how to fund it is another story. But I've always believed, you know, follow your heart, follow in faith, and whatever funding is needed or happening, God will provide. That's just the way I've functioned, and it's worked out all right. Now, I'm not saying it's worked out great for everybody, and there's a lot of dangers involved in trying to do this. You mean you have to have your life intact. We've seen a lot of casualties. But we need to have these talks, and I applaud what you're doing, John. You've always had this mindset, and yet perhaps we're just the big brothers who have a little bit of wisdom and over a cup of coffee with some young artists that will take that advice to heart.
Yeah, I hope so. That's what we're trying to do. That's great. Tommy, thank you so much for taking some time with us this evening. I appreciate it, and Lord bless you and all you do.
Well, thanks, John. Let's do chapter 2 sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, one more time.
Love you, buddy.
What was the website? What was the website for the movie, real quick?
LoveSongTheBand.com, and in the movie will come up right. And I think the 5-minute trailer is also there.
Oh, great! LoveSongTheBand.com, right?
Yep. That's it.
Perfect.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Tommy. God bless you and your family.
Thanks, John. Talk soon.
And we'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Yep.
All right,
fantastic.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go, folks. That was Tommy Coombs. Love song. Tommy is in his band. Also travel with Franklin Graham doing his crusades all over the world. Been doing that for 30 years. Did you know that? I bet you didn't know that. I didn't know that. Oh, boy. We learn a lot here at Blog Talk Radio, don't we? Join us next week. It's going to be just as good. So hang in there. God bless you. Get a heart for the world. And, boy, listen to these guys and the way they did it. They did it in such a sweet, gentle way. I believe that's the way God wants us to bring people to Him. God bless you. Take care. See you soon.